I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In 20 minutes, ESPN's analytics department is high on the Commanders' offensive line, ranked them in the top 10 as a projection going into the year. What areas on this team might be underrated that we talk about a lot, maybe don't get enough ink? We will discuss that coming up in 20 minutes. By the way, I was thinking about this during the break. Either of you can both say no. I don't want anything uncomfortable. I don't want to be called to an HR department. I need my back scratched in friendship kind of a way. Who's up for it? You could go over the shirt. You don't have to go under the shirt. Who's up for a good back scratching in the next commercial break? Ryan, Darius, anybody up for it? Nothing? Don't all jump at once.
Ryan's like passing it off to me like I have no choice. I don't know. Sure, I got you.
Maybe I'll go talk to Cookie. Maybe Cookie.
Yeah, Brock's got you. I know he'll do that.
Great friends I have here working hard on the program with me. Need a little back scratch. It's all a guy needs. All right, let's get to our Beltway Blitz. We'll be talking Nats baseball with Craig Heist, the Commanders, Scott Abraham. Let's start you off going around the league. Ben Brown of PFF joins us. Ben, I want to begin with Deshaun Watson. What do we think's going to happen when the league comes back with whatever their new update is going to be to his 6-game suspension?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a pretty complicated situation right now. I expect them to probably push for the full season suspension. I do think that's kind of, you know, the direction that they've headed for the past couple of months. I do think that's probably the timeline that Roger Goodell wants to have on a Deshaun Watson suspension, and then it becomes, you know, what is the pivot or what is the, you know, counter from Deshaun Watson's party once that actually happens. So I know, you know, Mike Florio, other guys like that have kind of come out and said, you know, it's not necessarily this week one through week six sort of time frame for Watson. We're not going to see him playing week one. The question is week seven and beyond. And I do think that we should see the counter from the NFL and then the re-counter from Deshaun Watson before week seven, and hopefully finally get some closure. But I expect the NFL to come back with probably that full season suspension, which has long been rumored, I would say, at this point.
So let's say he is suspended for an extended period of time, whether that's 12 games or more. What's that division look like this year then?
It's very much the Bengals and the Ravens, right? I do think that, you know, a lot of people want to buy into the Ravens, especially given the injury context that they dealt with last year. Obviously, a lot of those guys are coming back and healthy. A lot of pieces are in place with, you know, around Lamar Jackson. Still need him to, you know, probably live close to his MVP type season that he had a couple years ago in order to take over the Cincinnati Bengals from my perspective. So I do think the Bengals are definitely the team to beat. And I do think that, you know, the betting market, everyone else is probably low on them, given some considerations that I think probably aren't overly justified or valid right now. That the Super Bowl hangover, some of this mentality that they're going to come off the year, you know, starting kind of slow. Joe Burrow maybe banged up riding around in a golf cart right now at training camp. So I think all that's probably a little bit overstated. And I do think the Bengals are definitely going to turn out to be the class of the AFC North, from my perspective.
I just can't shake this thought that we are all sleeping on the Steelers too much. And I understand what they are and what they're not. I mean, Roethlisberger was not helpful to that offense. I'm not a big Matt Canada guy. Everything's horizontal. Having said that, their defense is going to be legit. They've never had a losing season under Tomlin. And I feel like maybe the reflection of us not being high on Pickett as an industry plays into this, but he was the first quarterback off the board. There's no path to them going 10-7 or mixing it up in that division?
Yeah, so it's really, really poor offensive line, right? And I do think, you know, we saw them rely heavily on Najee Harris. He's obviously been banged up. I do think, you know, they're two young pass-catching options that a lot of people are excited about. Chase Claypool just kind of getting back into the fold, practicing again after his shoulder injury. Pat Freiermuth has had a little bit of injury concerns as well. So I think breaking in a new quarterback around this offense that is kind of banged up right now, to be honest with you, and probably not getting enough reps is kind of a concern for me. We have obviously seen Mike Tomlin, you know, far exceed coaching expectations. So I'm not going to discount anything that he's capable of doing. But I do think 10-7 is probably a stretch for the Pittsburgh Steelers, given their current state and where they're at in training camp wise.
That's fair. All right. Give me a prediction on the record for the Commanders before I let you go.
I mean, I don't want to get too much hate. I do think that, you know, the negative reports about Carson Wentz, I still think are probably being a little bit overstated. Like you guys mentioned, really good offensive line. I think they were third in pass blocking and third in run blocking last year. So I think if they can make it happen on the ground, open up some RPOs for Carson Wentz, they probably are going to be in the thick of the NFC. Sorry about that. So I do think, you know, 7-10 is probably where they're going to end up. And I do think that maybe is a little bit conservative. I do think they can get to the 8-9 type situation as well. Maybe be relevant in a playoff race if a couple things break right for them.
I like Ben Brown. He does a good job. Betting and data, PFF. Follow him at PFF underscore Ben Brown. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
Thank you. Take care. All right, let's keep it moving on the Blitz. Craig Heist, you just heard him getting us up to speed in the update room a few minutes ago. Star, what should the Nats do with Patrick Corbin?
Well, you know, I'm thinking in terms of the bullpen right now, but I'm not so sure that Dave Martinez is going to do that. I think if he has another one like he's had two of the last three, Grant, they may not have any choice in the matter. It's past time for this to happen, and you know, they don't win it obviously with him without him in 2019, but this is just ridiculous. I mean, he gave up six in the first inning against the Dodgers in the final game of that road trip, and then he gives up six in the first inning the other night against Philadelphia, and doesn't make it out of the first inning. I mean, I know how you and Danny have been harping on this most of the season, and I've been willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, you know, he hasn't forgotten how to pitch. Well, evidently something's amiss, because if he can't get the slider over for a strike, Grant, he can't pitch up in the zone. He just doesn't. I mean, everything gets hammered. So from that standpoint, I would put him in the bullpen for a few weeks and see if he can't get something straightened out.
Heisty, the series in Philadelphia was not okay.
No.
The 13-1 loss on Sunday to end it. Outscored 36-12, out-homered 14-1.
Yep.
They're 36-74. Other than that, though, how was the play? What do we think? I mean, what's next here?
Well, they're on a pace for 53-109, and that hasn't happened since 08-09. So, I mean, that's just the way it's going right now. And I agree with Dave Martinez. This is a situation where they don't get ahead in games. They fall behind early. You have only had one pitcher, Grant, since the All-Star break go past the fifth inning, and that's the guy who's on the mound tonight in Chicago, Anibal Sanchez. And even that was a 5 1/3, so he pitched into the sixth. I mean, the bullpen is just paying the price for all of this right now, especially since the All-Star break. And that was a pretty solid crew for a while, but now they can't get guys out either.
How much longer till they call up Cade Cavalli to give fans just something to care about?
Well, you know, I would like to see that happen, and I don't think it's going to, from all indication and from what they've talked about over at the stadium. You know, he's 4-4. His ERA is, above 4. But certainly, at this point, they have nothing to lose. I would love to see him try to figure some things out up here at the major league level. I mean, let's face it. How many guys have you seen, Grant, down through the years, not be that great at the minor league level, but come up here and pitch okay once they get up here? I think that could happen.
And not only that, I mean, he has been very good lately. He got off to a really slow start, so the numbers over the course of the year are a bit skewed. But you know, the last couple starts, he's been just okay. But I also think sometimes guys get frustrated. Like, he's looking and going, how the heck am I still here? What do I have to do? I'm striking out a batter per inning. I'm at closing in on 30 starts of AAA dating back to last year for this team. As you said, he would be maybe the best, but possibly the second best pitcher in the big league rotation tomorrow with all of his flaws if they called him up.
Right, and you know, you think about Abbott, he's only had one really decent start. I mean, he gave up 7 runs and 7 hits and 4 homers over 3 2/3 yesterday. So that's not going to get it done. And you just look at the amount of home runs they gave up in that Philly series, 14. They couldn't keep him in the ballpark, and that includes the bullpen as well. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'd love to see Cade Cavalli come up here and see what he can do at this level.
You said you had a 20-loss stat for me.
Yes, I do.
I want to hear it.
All right. Well, you were talking about the fact that Corbin could possibly lose 20 this year, and I'm right there with you. The last guy to do that, Mike Maroth with the Tigers in 2003, he went 9-21 with a 5.73 ERA. But here's where it gets interesting. Brian Kingman of the A's in 1980 went 8-20. With a 3.83.
Wow.
The year before that, Phil Niekro with the Braves, 21-20, and he had a 3.39. And then Niekro did it twice in a 3-year span. He also lost 20 in 1977 along with Jerry Kuzman. But in the decade of the 70s, Grant, a total of 14 pitchers lost 20 in one season.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, and not surprising. I mean, guys used to go 9 innings and just, you know, they would be on the hook, win
right,
or lose.
Right, and you're in a 4-man rotation back there, and that's the difference between pitching what you got now, which is about 33, 34 innings, as opposed to 41 or 42.
Yeah, this would be the first time in 19 years. That was a terrible Tigers team that Maroth was pitching on.
Yes, it was.
Thank you, Heisty. Much appreciated, buddy.
All right.
Let's continue on the Beltway Blitz. Talk some football. The Commanders. Scott Abraham, Channel 7 Sports in town. Watch him on the local news and his sports coverage. Scott, Saturday night, FedEx Field, what was it like out there?
Yeah, I mean, it was great to have the fans back in. You know, good attendance, energy, enthusiasm, cautiously optimistic, obviously. All eyes on Carson Wentz, and it's been a mixed bag so far. And I understand the concern and the frustration, but I think that also you have to have a temper expectations in terms of Wentz, of his third new system in 3 years. You can't expect him to light the world on fire 2 weeks into training camp practice. I think people got to pump the brakes a little bit, give him some time. Let's see how he does on a couple of series on Saturday against Carolina.
Yeah, I'm wondering about Wentz more and more now, because for everyone to keep mentioning it that covers the practices and that's out there, it's obviously a thing. I mean, right, you see guys throw incompletions or miss players in every practice all the time, but for it to constantly be a topic, I guess for lack of a better term, like if it's being mentioned, it's got to be really bad at times.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm there with him. I see it. He's been throwing some ugly deep balls, some wounded ducks. Yeah, maybe his mechanics are off a little bit, throwing a little bit high, but I'm at the point, guys, where you have to give him some sort of benefit of the doubt. Again, it's 2 weeks into training camp practice. Let's see what he does against opposing defenses. Let's see what he does in week one. I think people just got to take a chill pill a little bit and I guess steal a phrase from the Sixers, trust the process. Let's see how it works out.
I'm going to talk more about this in the back half of the show, but after months of saying they would address linebacker, 27-year-old former Eagle, mostly a special teamer, Nathan Jerry was signed. Is this the big linebacker addition? Is this the one we've been waiting for all this time?
Boy, I mean, what else is out there? I guess this might be. The linebacker is a concern, guys. And when you have a David Mayo potentially getting more reps than a Jamin Davis, concerning. Cole Holcomb, the most veteran linebacker of the group in terms of this system, maybe a little bit concerning. So the secondary is playing well. They're flying all around. Defensive line, Payne and Allen, they're going to be fine. Montez Sweat's going to be great. Who's going to be on the other outside on the defensive end? Big question mark. But I think the glaring weakness right now in this defense is the linebackers. And you know opposing offenses are going to try to target those guys.
I am excited to see that Wentz is going to play in the first preseason game. Obviously, yep. Now there are only three, but Rivera's gone on record as saying Wentz will definitely play against Carolina. Do we have any idea how much he might play on Saturday at FedEx?
No, not yet, but I mean, from my expectations and just maybe from past history, one or two series, maybe a quarter, nothing more than a quarter, in my opinion. And I think he needs to be out there. I think he needs to compete against different looks, different fronts, an opposing defense, not his practice guys here at training camp. So I'm excited to see how he does the first couple of series wearing the burgundy and gold.
Hey, did I see you sat down with Taylor Heinicke? What was that about?
I did, yeah. So I had a great sit-down. I'll be sharing that tonight on 7 News. It was an interesting little nugget that he shared with me of his relationship with Carson Wentz off the field. And he actually said that Carson helped him kind of embrace his faith a little bit more. He's reading his Bible every morning, and it's something that's become a foundation of their relationship and friendship away from football. So they've really connected with each other's faith. So it was interesting to hear that from Taylor.
Wow. Thank you, Scott. Much appreciated.
I'll see you guys. Thanks.
Be well. Carson Wentz, see, making buddies, making teammates, huh? Fitting into the locker room, right? You see, he could fit into the locker room here. Grant and Danny without Danny. All right, I got two things next. I told you that the ESPN analytics department is super high on Washington's offensive line. I'm going to explain why when we return. But also, I started a TV show last night. And it is awesome. My wife went to bed at like 7:30. I don't know how or why. I have no answers for you. In fact, she came out of our kid's room from putting our kid to bed, and I went upstairs, and she was just laying in bed, and I said, what's happening? She's had a cold. She's in bed. I said, is this for the night? She's like, yep. Okay, I guess I'll just go on living my life. So I just walked downstairs, and it was just me and the dog. And so I said, you know what? We got time to burn through a few episodes. Let's find a new series. And I found a winner. I'm going to tell you what it was and what you guys should start watching. Next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Strong rest of the show planned for you. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. Just Grant today. You are locked into The Fan, DC, Richmond, coast to coast, the Odyssey app. 30 minutes from now at 5 o'clock, top of the hour, Pete Haley, the latest from Commander's Camp. And at 6 o'clock tonight, I'm very much looking forward to talking with Kylie McDaniel of ESPN, who is their prospects and kind of minor league baseball expert. He just put together a new ranking of the best systems in baseball, and after years of being one of the worst-rated systems, the Nationals, in one fell swoop in the Soto Bell trade, reversed their fortunes there. They are now a top-10 system with the talent that they've got in the minor leagues. So we'll talk to Kylie about that. Coming up ahead of the Nats and the Cubs tonight when he joins me at 6. I'm hanging out until 6:30 here on The Fan. the show I told you I started watching before I get to the Commanders offensive line. It is called The Terminal List. Three words, The Terminal List. It is on Amazon Prime. It stars Chris Pratt, who's the man. He's done a lot of comedy, a lot of humor, a lot of light stuff. This is way more serious. This is drama. He plays a commander of a military group, like Navy SEALs type group of badasses who go on a mission that goes sideways. And the show is about kind of the fallout of that. And I'm now three episodes in, and it is really good. A little bit confusing. It's kind of busy. There's a lot going on. But I'm guessing it'll all kind of add up and all the loose ends will be tied together. But if you're like me, you want a sweet spot of shows. This is eight episodes, one season. It's kind of like a mini series of sorts. It's called The Terminal List. Check it out. And if you have already seen it or you are watching it, tweet me at Grant H. Paulson. I want to hear from you. I want someone I can banter with about this. Spoiler free. But it's sharp. It's really, really good. I had a buddy who had just seen it. Tipped me off to it, started watching it, and I binged three last night. They're not, you know, you're 30, 40 minutes, so it's tough to rip through them. Normally, they're right around an hour. Some of them are longer than that. Lengths kind of vary. But I'll try to knock out a couple of more tonight. I've got to watch Aníbal Sánchez, obviously. How could I not? That's going to be a lot of fun. Some butterfly changeups at Wrigley Field. Got to watch Aníbal. And then maybe there'll be some time for a couple eps on Prime. Stay up late this evening. All right, to the Commanders' offensive line. So ESPN's analytics department ranked all 32 offensive lines as a projection for this year. What they did was they took win rates, how often you win your matchup individually, how often you complete your task correctly, from last year, and really the careers of all of the players on each offensive line. And they did a projection moving forward into this year. Now, I don't know if people realize this, but last year, the Commanders had as good a year in run block win rate as anybody in the National Football League. Pass rate was not quite as good, was still top half the league. So when you balance it all out, they're one of the better lines in football. But I bring this up a lot, specifically when we talk about Antonio Gibson, who averaged right at 4 yards per carry. Because he was seventh in the league in rushing, one of seven backs who went for 1,000. There is a perception coming out of last year that he was either really good or one of the better backs in the league, when the fact was he broke fewer tackles last year than he did the year before. He fumbled more last year than he did the year before. And there was a lot of yards blocked for him that he sometimes got and sometimes didn't gain, that he left on the field. But Washington's run blocking unit is really, really good. Pass blocking, as I said, very solid, but not on the same elite level. But the predicted, so their projection for pass blocking win rate this year for Ron Rivera's offensive line, post Brandon Scherff, without Eric Flowers, is number 14 in the NFL. Their predicted run block win rate this year, baking in the projections from Andrew Norwell and Trey Turner at guard, is number one in the NFL. Without Scherff, without Flowers. So they're projected starting five, and it's still a little bit to be determined because they've had some injuries. But they've got Charles Leno at left tackle, the former Bear in year two here in Washington, who's already been paid and extended after his strong first season. Andrew Norwell at left guard, who came over from Carolina most recently, played for Ron Rivera at one point in time, obviously. He's a Commander. Chase Roullier at center comes back from injury. I think that's one of the big developments of this offseason that hasn't gotten a whole lot of mention that is actually a really big deal. Because I think people sleep on how good Chase Roullier is and how important he is. They were down at one point to their fourth center in a pinch last season. They had guys starting at center who wouldn't make this year's team. Roullier, though, coming back is going to be a big deal. And then you have Trey Turner at right guard. Big drop-off from Scherff, obviously. He went to Jacksonville. And Cornelius Lucas, they have as the projected right tackle. I would tell you that that's going to be Sam Cosmi. So I would insert Cosmi, who's ideally second-year player in year two as a second-round pick, better than Cornelius Lucas. But here's what they wrote. quote, find someone who loves you as much as run block win rate loves Washington's O-line. That remains true even after the loss of number one running blocking guard Brandon Scherff to Jacksonville in free agency. They say that Norwell, who came from Jacksonville, ranked seventh in run block win rate last year in the same category. Roulier, listen to this. Chase Roulier did not qualify last season because he didn't play enough snaps at center because of the injury. But he would have been the top-ranked run-blocking center in the league if he qualified. And if you go, oh, well, it was just a few games, that's not, you know, that realistic to carry over. It's not relevant because it was a short sample. The year before that, when he was fully healthy and played the full season, he was number two in the NFL at center in run-block win rate. So I think people need to just recognize that Chase Roulier is actually a really competent, legitimately good center, and specifically when it comes to running the football, he is sharp with his angles, and he moves guys around, and he does a really nice job. We've had Will Montgomery on plenty over the years, and I remember early on when he was evaluating Chase Roulier for us, he was really, really impressed with a guy who was starting at the same position he started at here in Washington for many years. But I bring this up to say that, again, this is the analytics department of ESPN saying Washington will have a top seven offensive line. What's your expectation for this O-line this year? Are you worried after losing Brandon Scherff and after they moved on from Flowers with two new starters coming in the interior? Because remember, without Roulier having been healthy, you've seen Trey Turner on the side field a little bit. They haven't yet mastered that continuity or the cohesion you're looking for up front in camp. And you got a preseason game coming up this weekend. I happen to think that the best way to build an offensive line successfully is essentially, I just knocked over my drink. It's fine. Nothing spilled. Everyone, we're going to be okay. The best way to build an offensive line is essentially to have no weaknesses. And I don't care if you have elite strengths, but five solid guys over like two upper echelon top tier linemen, see Trent Williams, and then a couple of turnstiles. I'll take the five solid over the two really good and one shouldn't be in the league and one not very good offensive line when you're building five. And I think that's what Washington has struck gold with. I don't know if it's by design. I don't know if you give the Martys credit because, you know, they've kind of done this research just like the analytics crews on some of these sites do. But the philosophy generally of just having five guys who are somewhere between, you know, 10 and 15 at their position probably is a better plan than having two guys that are top five, but then two guys that rank 25 to 32 among starters at their position. So I feel really good. If I had a concern or something I'm going to monitor closely, it is that there is a track record of Carson Wentz making lines a little bit worse than they are because he holds on to the ball. You know, one of his greatest attributes, we've seen it here in Washington for many years, is his ability to make plays and extend and create, right? I mean, how many times over the years did you see Washington have him hemmed down, it seemed like, and pinned in, and he was about to get sacked, Kerrigan and everyone collapsing, and then he comes out of a pile of bodies like a surfer out of a wave, and you wonder how in the heck he just did it. The problem with those great plays is that a lot of the times, when they're not highlights that lead to long completions or touchdowns, it's sacks when you could have just taken the quick 5-yard throw, the 7-yard throw. Don't go broke. Take that profit. Get the ball out. Keep the chains moving. Second and four is better than second and 17 on the sack because you might have been able to wait a split second to hit on a 70-yard touchdown. And his style will cost the line. It did with Indianapolis. I think they were viewed more favorably after the year they spent with Rivers, who really never got touched, even though he was immobile. I mean, he can't get away from anyone. You breathe near Philip Rivers, he falls over. But you look at his sack totals, he did a pretty good job because you snap the ball comes out. He's not going to hold on to it. And Wentz just isn't that guy. Wentz is going to keep the ball until the last possible split second. And sometimes that makes life harder on the O-line. So maybe they take a step back in that regard this year, protecting him. But I think most importantly, they're going to block really well in the running game for Gibson, for McKissick, for Robinson, if Patterson's getting carries. And they're going to set up some really enviable and some ideal downs and distances, second, third down, for Wentz to operate with. But I hear people knocking this line all the time. I'm sure you guys do as well. It seems like there are fans that have a concern about what they've done, because I guess it makes sense. You lose Sheriff and you don't really make an impact addition. Or maybe you were hoping to do better than Leno at left tackle when you got him off the scrap heap from Chicago, and now they've paid him. But I thought he was very solid last year. Maybe it's just a remorse of not having Trent Williams anymore. You went from like Chris Samuels to Trent Williams, these Ring of Fame type left tackles who are going to have their names at FedEx Field. And you don't necessarily have that anymore. I don't know if that's part of it. You guys would have to tell me, but I don't believe the negativity that surrounds this line. I think they're in pretty good shape. Starting group specific. You know, obviously if they have injuries, then that's, let's have a different conversation. But you could say that about any position group on any team. So let me ask you this, two-parter here, and I'll open up the phones. MGM National Harbor listener lines for you right now. A, what's your take on this offensive line that Rivera and the Martys built? Good enough? You feel okay about it? ESPN says top 10. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. And then the other question is, what other areas on this team, if we're saying the O-line might be underrated, what else is better than it gets credit for? I want you to be creative. Think outside the box if you need to. It could be not just position groups. It could be something about the outfit, something about the organization overall that you think still gets bashed that shouldn't, or areas where maybe they're just better off than people think. Phone lines are yours next, 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny, no Danny today on the Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back. On the Fan, I'm Grant Paulson. Danny's vacation continues this week. Just got a tweet. You can hit me up at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter. Nick says, I don't think the average fan really judges good or bad O-line play well. They see the quarterback scrambling or getting sacked and may assume it's bad line play versus the quarterback holding the ball too long. Well, that's true, obviously, but I would not say it's just a fan issue. I think it's a media problem as well. I mean, a lot of times, unless you're really in the room and know what the obligation of each lineman was, it's why sometimes specific to O-line grades for PFF or any of these other sites, I think it's hard. Like, you're double teaming. Are you supposed to just chip a guy and then work to the second level? I mean, if you don't really know what the assignment was, I think sometimes it's hard to evaluate protection. And in the passing game, holding up against different fronts and different looks. But I will say that there's no doubt in my mind, because of that, my time when I was on the beat, I am really careful about critiquing protections now. I remember having a conversation with an O-lineman once where I had said, just tweeted something during a game about, how badly they'd gotten beaten, basically. And I was in the locker room, and this guy called me over to his locker, and he's like, hey, just wanted you to know, you said I got beat like a drum. I didn't get beat at all. And I'm like, I remember saying to the guy, I'm like, what do you mean? It was one-on-one, and, you were blocking at your spot. The defensive end came off the edge. You got worked pretty good. And quarterback got hit as soon as he got to his back foot on the drop. And I think the quarterback at the time was Griffin. And he said, yeah, it was a five-step drop. He dropped seven steps. I'm blocking to real estate, essentially. I know exactly where he's supposed to be. I'm just making up yard markers now. But let's say he, you know, you're first and 10 from the 21, and he is dropping to the 16-yard line. And you're blocking then 2 yards behind that so that someone can't get their arm on the ball as he's stepping up into the throw. Well, if a quarterback drops seven instead of five, it seems very subtle, not a big deal. Now they get hit and sacked or stripped from behind. It looks like the tackle who anchored and got pushed back, you know, ends up getting beat. But really, the quarterback's job there is to be at the correct drop. And these are things with quarterbacks that happen sometimes. And we watch this. This is not just fans. This is media. This is broadcasters, everybody. And we say, oh, the tackle got beat or the guard got beat there. Well, if the quarterback isn't supposed to be where they were when they got hit, is the lineman just supposed to guess? Are they supposed to tell the future? So it is really a larger pie than just one slice where we say, oh, you got beat. And quarterback has to help. And I think at times in his career, because of how he scrambles around, he moves in the pocket, he slides, he creates, and he, you know, gets off schedule, I think Wentz can make it a little bit difficult. And if you remember, the Eagles, pretty notoriously offensive line, awful at the end of his time there. And last year, the Colts group took a step back. So I suppose that could be a concern for Washington, although I still feel pretty good about what they've put together here. Let's go to Greg in Springfield, who wants to hop in on Grant and Danny. What's up, Greg? How are you?
What's up, Grant? I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thank
you. I need to talk about the most underrated man on that O-line, and I think it's Wes Schweitzer. And I'm no coach. I can watch as many games as I want, and like you were just saying, I don't pick apart the protections, but that man is an absolute beast. He takes down tackles like it's nothing, and I'm not worried about this O-line at all as far as injuries at guard go, because I think you could pop him in as a starter, and you'd be good to go and ready to rock and roll. I follow him on social media, so I might have a bias, but that guy just climbs rock walls with his fingertips like it's nothing.
Does he really climb rock walls? Wes Schweitzer?
He's a big rock climber, yeah. In fact, I was very, very proud because I suggested a rock climbing spot to him in the area, and he actually reached back on my comment, so it was a little fame for me from him. I felt very nice.
It seems like my guy Greg is a little bit smitten because he had a little social media interaction. He's putting Uncle Wes over a little bit. I mean, he's three bills climbing rocks. That's insane. I'm impressed. Rock wall climber Wes Schweitzer. No, he is super strong. I've talked to guys on the team who talk about like how legendary some of his lifting is in the weight room. And he's been super effective when he's played. It's why, honestly, I didn't think they were going to go out and get Trey Turner. I thought Wes Schweitzer and Sadiq Charles, honestly, were good enough at guard. Compete. Winner wins that job on the right side. And the other guy backs both Norwell and the winner up. But instead, you've got Leno and Turner as your projected starters, with Schweitzer first man up on either side, and then Cornelius Lucas, who could play either of those two, Sadiq Charles, rather, who could play either of those two positions, the fourth rounder they got with the pick they acquired when they traded Trent Williams. But yeah, I'm with you. I like their depth, specifically at guard. Tackle, Lucas has been very, very solid when he's needed to play. He has not been on the practice field regularly yet. Remember, he was on the non-football injury list to start camp, but you've got Leno on the left, Cosme on the right, Lucas as your swing tackle, and then they brought in Rashad Hill, who's played a little bit in some other places. So that's decent NFL quality depth at tackle. Schweitzer and Charles as your backups at guard make sense. And Tyler Larson's on pup, but their former fifth round pick who started for them at times last year, Keith Ishmael, their backup center behind Roulier, probably their thinnest spot in terms of, you know, not loving what you've got if you need someone to start three or four games at center. But I think that's probably good enough. So, yeah, I'm not worried about this line. And I do think it's underrated, undervalued. I'm going to put together a little mini list for next hour of some other spots that I think are probably better than they get credit for on this roster. But next, we're going to talk to Pete Haley of NBC Sports Washington. I want to get the latest from camp out in Ashburn, go through all of the burning questions and the big stories. There's a game being played at FedEx Field on Saturday night. Panthers are coming to town to take on the Commanders in Landover, Maryland. Real-life exhibition football. We'll talk to Pete about that next right here on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.